श्रीवृंदकी जय। प्रेम सिखो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासी गौ भक्तवृंदकी जय। श्री अंतद्वीप मायापुर समंतद्वीप कौटिद्वीप मधुद्वीप कौलद्वीप पृथ्वीद्वीप जानुद्वीप मुरुद्वीप ब्रुजद्वीप भावे कशीनावद्वीप धाम की जय। श्री श्री राधे कृष्ण
Bhaktaya Tadabhaktaya Namo Namah Pravrajanta Manupetama Peta Krityam Dvaipayano Virahakatharvajuhava Putreti Tanmayatayataravobhanetas Tangsavabhutavidayam Nimanatosmi Bhaktyavahinayaparadalakshay Chiptastya kamaditarangamadye Kripamayi tvam sharanam prapadyam Prinde namaste charanaravindam Tvaivasmi Najivamitam vina Yati vigyaya radhe tam nayamam charanantike. First, I offer my unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my Paramarajita, Diksha Guru Padapad, Manichalila Pravishta Om Vishnupad, Astotara Sita Sri Srimad, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my Paramarajitama, Shiksha Guru Padapadma, Om Vishnupad Astotra Satashri Srimad Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayan Gosai Maharaj, to all of our Guru Varga and all the assembled devotees. First, I feel a little embarrassed to speak because my senior god brothers are here. But as arrogant as I am, I'm going to begin anyway. So sometimes I like to give a very easy class. Not a class, but a sharing that's called A Day in the Life of an Inspiring Devotee, starting from when we first realize that we exist in the morning, when we wake up. So that's where we'll begin. And I know that some of you would like to hear a little simpler version of some of the features of last night's class. So, since that's part of the day of the life of a devotee, we'll discuss that as well when we come to its time. So, first, we don't realize that we exist and we're in deep sleep. Then, some semblance of consciousness comes at some point in the early morning and we start realizing that we're there. So, what's the first thing to do to realize who we are and start the day successfully? Srila Gurudev explained that we start the day, and we can even start this before getting out of bed or as getting out of bed. And that is the Jaya Dhwani prayers. As many of you know, the word Jaya does not only mean all glories or spiritual victory. Of course, it does mean that in short, in code. But we know that codes are just shortcut versions of a longer truth. So the truth of the word Jaya is that wherever there's jai or victory, there's harjai or defeat. So when there's a victorious party, there's a defeated party, as we hopefully don't read about in the newspapers every day. And that victorious party loots the conquered country or party, controls them, dictates to them, takes everything from them. So we're uttering the Jayadwani prayers to our Diksha Gurudev, our Shiksha Gurudev, our Guru Parampara, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Govardhan, Vrindavan, Jagannath, just everybody that we want mercy from. So we're asking that now we have two camps. There's the enemy camp, that is my six whips, those six enemies who are always whipping me. That is lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, and envy. Or you could call it the both sides of the enemy party, who sometimes play two sides of a game. That is, in the game of football, you have two sides. But these two parties are really on the same side. It's a facade. They're kicking the ball back and forth, but really they're on the same side, Prabhupada explained. That is, we, the poor jiva, covered over by illusion, are being kicked from one side to the other, lust and anger, being kicked back and forth. So, lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, and envy, my false ego, contaminated consciousness, are all on one side, and you, whoever was saying jai to, jai Gurudev, jai Prabhupada, jai Haridas Thakur ki jai, are on the other side. Ki means ki jai. Ki means apostrophe S. So many of you speak Hindi, so you know that. What's a way to say it? Like, how do you say somebody's house? Kalata ki ghar, right? Kalavati ki ghar. Kalavati's house. So ki jai means their victory. We're praying for their victory over our enemies. So we want to be taken over means we want our enemies to be taken over, and they should be victorious and conquer over our lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, and envy, and engage the whole thing in their service because we're entirely helpless to do so. In fact, we're so helpless that Gurudev explained once in his glorification of Srila Prabhupada and all pure devotees in the first verse of the Samsara prayers, Samsara Davanala Lita Loka. Davanala. This world is worse even than a great conflagration of forest fire. It's like an ocean fire, which they have off the coast of Florida, which is even more hot and raging. So if you're in a fire, suppose you're in the middle of a fire, first you're screaming, but then it comes to a point where it gets so bad that you just lose your consciousness and become dull and you don't even realize you're there. So Gurudev said that's where we're at now, that we're so burnt that we don't even realize that we're suffering because we've become so dull by the pain. So we're helpless to help ourselves, and so we're praying jai. So this jai, Jayadwani, sounds of jai, are it's like a race against the clock. Thinking of the person like Sachidananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. Thinking of, just like, I want some things from different people. So I think about the different people, and then I think, now, what do they have that I want? I won't ask that from that person, because they're not that type of person. Now, that's the type of person I could ask that from. So when we say Sachidananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai, or Mahabhagavat Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj ki jai, in the time that it takes, we have only that amount of time. that it takes to say their name and their jai. That's how much time it takes to think about what they have that we want, and then to ask them for that. For example, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj is a perfect renunciate, like on the level of Raghunath Das Goswami, eating a slice of butter every other day and living in a latrine, in a public lavatory, just to avoid the association of materialists who come and ask for material boons. At the same time, a fearless preacher. Like when some rich person came and asked him for a benediction, for his blessings, he said, "Yes, I'll give you my blessings. Here, take this kopin, door kopin, take off your clothes, put on this, and come and live with me." And the man ran away and never came back. So he's a fearless preacher also. So in the time that it takes to say their name and their kijai, we think about what they have and what we want, and then ask them to control us in that way so that we can be like them. Now, I'm sort of more conscious now that I've said my Jayadwani prayers. And while going to the bathroom, brushing my teeth, taking a shower, and I can be already continuing these prayers or waiting until I sit down for my bhajans. Now, these Jayadwani prayers are not just a once-in-a-day thing. They begin the day, and then they begin my bhajans. If I'm doing class, they begin my class and end the class. They also, half of them, begin my taking of Mahaprasad. That is, before taking prasad, either once, twice, thrice, 10 times, however many times we take it, we say at the beginning, Mahaprasade Govind. I'm jumping now. I'm skipping the morning because we're in the Jayadwani prayers. And then we'll go back to the early morning. So I say the Mahaprasad Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnava prayer, which I'll explain more elaborately in a deeper way than most of us are familiar with. And then after saying that prayer and the Sarira Avijajal prayer, then we say part of the Jayadwani prayer again, up to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and then Bhagavat Mahaprasad Seva Ki Jai. And why do we do that? Because to actually taste prasad is as difficult as tasting Hari Katha or as tasting Hari Nam, which is the most difficult thing in the universe, to chant Shuddha Nam, pure Nam, at which time we actually taste the name. That is, we taste Radha's and Krishna's pastimes, their rasa. Rasa means transcendental, mellow taste. So, before taking the Mahaprasad, we chant the jai to those acharyas and to Mahaprasad, begging that let me be free from the offenses that I'm committing in taking this prasadam, that is, thinking that it's ordinary food and thinking it either has enough salt or it doesn't, or I wish there were more sweets, or something like that, rather than thinking that it's mundane food, to experience the prasad as Mahaprabhu experienced it. That is, when he tasted Mahaprasad, tears were flowing from his eyes, and he was experiencing himself as Srimati Radhika, tasting the sound of Krishna's flute playing and condemning the flute that it gets to enjoy the nectar of Krishna's lips, even though it's a male and a dry bamboo, and the gopis who are in the same dynasty as him don't get that opportunity. So that's also the taste. Tasting the nectar from Krishna's lips is his flute hearing, and it's that same nectar from the same lips which is the Mahaprasad. So we're praying to our Guru Parampara and then Mahaprasad that we can taste the Mahaprasad, that they'll conquer over our mind, senses, and all of our enemies, so that we can taste the Mahaprasad in the same way that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tasted. Not exactly in the same way, but in the same way, in the merging with his mood, but not as Srimati Radhika, but as Srimati Radhika's servant or assistant. And we pray to the Mahaprasad and to our acharyas with the Kijai that we can taste the Mahaprasad as Srimati Radhika tastes it and the gopis taste it, which means we're praying to be free from all offenses, to chant the name purely, because at that time we can taste prasadam purely, which means we experience Radha's and Krishna's pastimes and ourself serving in those pastimes. When the gopis share Krishna's prasadam, they're hearing Radhika, that is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking in the mood of Radhika, that taking this nectar from the lips of Krishna, I give up all my shyness and consideration of societal chastisement and abuses. I give up my chastity to my husband, which is the greatest glory of an elevated Vedic chaste wife. And I forget meeting, and I forget separation, I forget everything. And I get lost and merged in Krishna's existence, and we become one by this taste of prasad, or the taste of the nectar of Krishna's lips. So after, or the meaning of, the Mahaprasade Govinde prayers and the Sarira Avijajal prayers, and then the, again, Jayadwani prayers before taking prasad is for this. Actually, Krishna consciousness is a very high thing, and Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev and all of our acharyas are offering a very high thing, as you've been hearing in the last couple of nights' classes from him. So we're praying, though we're, at least I am, the lowest, we're praying for the highest. And our acharyas have taught us to do that. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said in his prayers, particularly his prayer to Gopinath, that it shouldn't be your way to consider who I am that's praying to you with all of my defects, my lust, anger, and greed. Without any of that consideration and the fact that I hardly ever chant your name, you should please give me your mercy and make me, O Gopinath, make me your servant. And O Gopinath means that Krishna who was dancing in Ras with the gopis and then left them all for Srimati Radhika. So that Gopinath, we want that service at that time, in that circumstance. So although we're the lowest and very fallen and full of anarthas, we want that natural love, the love that's in our constitution. And that's, as Srila Gurudev says so many times, is the only thing we should be worried about and the only thing that we should be praying for. So that was just a note, an extra note on the Jayadwani prayers in relation to prasadam. And now we can go back to the morning. Now, Srila Gurudev said that rock bottom, even if we have no time, even if we have to go to work very early in the morning, still, the rock bottom prayers, minimum prayers, is the Bandehung prayers. where we're praying in a nutshell, or as Prabhupada said, a shortcut nutshell, to all the acharyas, beginning from Diksha and Shikshaguru, and going up the line to the Rupanuga Guru Varga, and then to Mahaprabhu and his associates, and then Radha and Krishna and their associates. But he prefers that we sing at least one song from each group before beginning our daily activities. That is, a song, the songs from the songbook, from the group of Guru, Bandana, prayers to the Guru, prayers to the Vaishnavas. We get strength from Guru to go to the Vaishnavas. Strength, we take them along with us to pray to Mahaprabhu and his associates. Then we take all them along with us to pray the prayers to Radha and Krishna and their associates. And we're always recommended to do reading in the morning also. So I'll take that opportunity to discuss, thank you, to discuss a bit of the lecture that Gurudev gave last night in simple language. He's said on several occasions, he said it in Badger, and I heard him say it in, I forget where, LA also, that if you're hearing my class and you, after the class, you begin thinking of something else, just engage in mundane thinking and mundane talk, then whatever I've said will be evaporated from you. That is, all the money, all the hard work you did with all the karmis to make the money to get here and give up all of your other activities to sit here, it goes away if after class you think mundane thoughts and speak mundane sounds. If you remember what I'm saying and repeat what I'm saying, then it will solidify in you. And as he said, I think it was, I don't know if it was last night or the night before, he said, don't make it like this. That is, going in one ear and out the other, but make it go in the ear and down into the heart. In Badger, about 5 years ago, he told one story of King Vikramaditya. And he had a council of 9 very specially brilliant counselors called 9 Jewels, one of whom was the famous Kalidas. And one day, a naked man, looking totally crazy, crazy-looking naked man with wild hair, came into the assembly, carrying under his arm a skull. And he put the skull down on the table, and he said, "Now, I hope that your counselors can tell me the answer to my question. Was this man who owned this skull, who lived in the skull, was he intelligent or foolish?" So everybody said, "How can you tell by looking at a skull? It's ridiculous." So then the crazy-looking naked man picked up his skull, put it under his arms again. He said, "I thought the people here would be intelligent, but I can see this is not a counselor, a council of intelligent people." So the king said, "Wait a minute, wait. There's one more that hasn't been here yet. It's my best one, Kalidas." Then Kalidas came, and he was asked the same question. So Kalidas took a stick of a straw, you know, they have all these straw sticks that make a broom, and he put one inside the ear, the big hole, and it came out the other ear. So he said, "This person is foolish." So everybody said, "How did you know?" He said, "Because if he was intelligent, the straw would have gone in the ear and down the bottom, down the neck. But it went through the ear, so we could tell that he was foolish." So Now we try to remember last night's class, but it was so complicated with all these Sanskrit words. So I'll try to simplify it and at the same time say the same thing and not say something different. So the absolute truth, that is the one without a second, there's no other existence than him. Janma adi yasya yataha. He's the source of everything, the maintainer of everything, and into him everything is dissolved at the end. Like a spider. Suppose there's only a spider. Now from the saliva of the spider comes this big, you see these big spider webs? It's only coming from the saliva of the spider. It's only the spider himself. Then after he plays around with it and catches all his insects and he's finished, then again he takes it in. So there's only Krishna, and he manifests in different features, aspects, and energies. Like I have different energies. I have talking energy, running energy, but it's all me. So the Absolute Truth has so many energies, so many expansions, so many relationships, but they're all just manifestations of him to enjoy bliss and share bliss. Now, Janmadi Yasya, Adi Yasya, comes from Adi Ras. Adi means original, or at first, those of you who speak Hindi. Adi means beginning with, the first Ras. And that is all the Rasas, the five Rasas, that is neutral Ras, friendship Ras, servitor Ras, parental Ras, and conjugal Ras. The root Ras, what the root, the Ras that starts all of them and from which all the other Rasas come is conjugal Ras. So Adi Yasya, Janma Adi Yasya means Adi Yas. Janma Adi. Janma Adi means what's created, what's beginning with creation. So creation, maintenance, and destruction. But you can take that same word Adi and bring it over to the next word, Adi Yasya, meaning Adi Ras. So the beginning of everything, the birth of everything, both in the spiritual world and this world, is the conjugal Ras of Radha and Krishna. And the Rasas or relationships in this world are just perverted reflections. They don't really have any substance. As Gurudev said, this is not really my husband, it's not my wife, it's not my children, it's not my parents. The real and only relationships are with Krishna and Radha. So it's not that Gurudev or Prabhupada or Acharyas are saying, okay, now abandon your baby, throw away the baby deer. But like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays in his Sharanagati prayers, now that I've realized that everything belongs to you, my wife belongs to you, my children belong to you, now I still go on maintaining them, but only in your service, knowing that they're not mine, they're yours. So I'm giving them to you in my taking care of them. I'm helping them in their service to you, in their coming to you. So it's not a rejection philosophy, but it's a rethinking philosophy. It's a reprioritizing philosophy. So because the original Rus, the original taste, mellow relationship, is conjugal Rus, the embodiment of conjugal Rus is Srimati Radhika. And therefore, that makes her the origin of everything. Gurudev explained that Krishna can only desire, but without any power. Like suppose you're very sick, really like super sick and you can't move, like our Gaurisundar Prabhu, when after he had that accident. He had so many desires to sing again, to dance again, to play mridanga again, but he had no power, so useless. Now he's getting his power back gradually. So now his desires are gradually starting to become fulfilled. Similarly, and where does this come from? Everything here has its origin in the Absolute Truth, Janmadiyasya, and it's just a reflection of that Absolute Truth beyond whom there is no existence. Because as Gurudev asked Padmanabha Maharaj to explain the Advaya Gyan Paratattva, the one without a second Absolute Truth. There's nothing outside of him. So, really, as the end of the verse says, Satyam Param Dhimahi, that supreme Absolute Truth is ultimately Srimati Radhika. Because as he says, Krishna can desire, but she is his power to fulfill that desire. So without her, he cannot do anything. He wouldn't even be Bhagavan. He would only be Paramatma. Or more so, he would only be Brahman. But Gurudev said, without Krishna, even without Krishna, Radhika can do everything because she's the power. So that power, the supreme complete power of God, is called Swarup Shakti, or the intrinsic complete power. Shakti means power, of the Absolute Truth. She's what makes the Absolute Truth the Absolute Truth, able to have all of its features. She manifests her chit potency. That Swarup Shakti has three features. Antaranga Shakti, as Gurudev said last night, that means the internal potency, which manifests Krishna, his abodes, his Jamuna, his trees, his birds of that realm, his Govardhan. And then the second feature of the Swarup Shakti, so antar means inside, antaranga. And then the second shakti or power or aspect of this Swarup Shakti is the in-between shakti, marginal shakti, or the jiva, which is like a dim reflection or a semblance of, or anu chit, atomic chit shakti. It's manifested from the Swarup Shakti, but it's not complete shakti. I'm sorry, it's not complete Swarup Shakti, as is Krishna's abode, as is Krishna's incarnations, Baladev, Narayan, or Krishna's Govardhan and other associates of his abode. But it's an atomic particle, as Gurudev went like this, a minute part and parcel of that Swarup Shakti, called Tatastha Shakti. Tatastha means borderline. Tata means the shoreline. It's not really a line, because like you're at the beach, you know, there's so many beaches here in Hawaii. So sometimes the land is covered by water, and sometimes the land is land. So that land that's just at the borderline between the water and the land is called the tata, the shoreline, borderline. And sometimes it's covered by the water, and sometimes it's in the open air. It's not steady. So sometimes we choose Maya, and sometimes then we choose Krishna. Or some souls choose Maya and stay here for millions of millenniums, and some go right from there to Krishna. Like if you throw a bunch of mustard seeds onto a very sharp knife edge, some of them are going to naturally bounce to one side, and some of them are going to bounce to another side. So this analogy, no material analogy is perfect because it's material, but this is not perfect in the sense that the mustard seeds don't have independence. But the jivas have independence, and they bounce on one side or they bounce on another side from the Tattvastha region. The Tattvastha region is not really a geographic place. It's an energy. It's a borderline energy. It's not a river. It's in the Viraja River, but it's not a river made of water. It's a borderline energy. So, but still we paint pictures of it just to give some idea. Like I say, somebody says to me, some kid says, like, what's his name again? Nimai says, where's the moon? So I say, look, Nimai, look, Nimai, look. No, it's the daytime. Nimai, ask where the sun is. Okay, I'll tell you. See the sun, Nimai? The sun is over there in between those branches of the tree. You see the sun shining through? The sun is not really there. The sun is not really there on the branches. Because if it was, Nimai, what would happen to it? The whole tree would become ashes in a second, wouldn't it? So it's not really there, but it's just to give some idea, some general idea of the direction. Really, the sun is, millions and millions of miles away. And it looks like this little tiny ball, but really it's millions of times bigger than the Earth planet. Similarly, we paint pictures under Prabhupada's guidance or Gurudev's guidance about Mahavishnu breathing out universes and so many cosmic paintings. But it's just to give some idea. Really, we can't conceive it as long as Gurudev said, as long as you think you're a lady or a lad, you can't think what it actually is because it's outside the realm of matter. So there's the marginal potency, and then there's the shadow of the Swarup Shakti, which is the Maya, Bahiranga Shakti, the external energy. There's the internal energy, Antaranga Shakti, the external energy, the Bahiranga Shakti. And in the middle, there's the marginal potency, called Tattvastha Shakti. That is the jiva. So Gurudev explained last night, generally a shadow doesn't have any substance. That's why it's a shadow. But this shadow, Maya Shakti, has some... Maya is a reality. Her transformations, that is everything in the material cosmic manifestation, they're non-realities. They appear to be realities for some time, like this body appears to be reality. I am Russian, I am a king, I'm American. But they're just like, as Gurudev explained and as Prabhupada explains in his Bhagavatam, second canto, they're just like bubbles. Bungalows, trees are just the world of so-called names and forms. They're like bubbles in the waves that come for a split second and then disappear. Somebody asked Prabhupada once, I was at a darshan with Prabhupada, and the a reporter from one of the university magazines came and did an interview with Prabhupada, and they asked him if he believes in astrology. So Prabhupada looked at his hand, studying his hand, pretending he was doing astrology. And he said, well, suppose somebody tells me that I'll become a king. And then suppose I become a king. How long can I remain king? And then where will I go? They're just like bubbles in the waves of the wild ocean. So God is a reality, and his internal energy is a reality. Swarup Shakti, that includes the jiva as marginal energy, and Maya are all realities. Whereas the transformations of Maya are only appear to be realities, or they're temporary so-called realities. Are there any other questions from last night's class? Otherwise, we'll go on to the rest of the day. Was there anything else about it? Did that cover it? Simplify it? Okay. Yeah, Antaranga Shakti, Antara. means in Hindi, Sanskrit, Bengali, inside, internal. So it's the internal spiritual energy. And the internal energy, which I didn't mention before, has its own three features. Like Swarup Shakti has three features: internal, marginal, and material. But the internal energy has its own three features, which is the Sandini, Samvit, and Hladini potencies. That is the potencies of Krishna's existence, or the existence potency, the knowledge potency by which Krishna knows himself and all others can know him, and then the Hladini Shakti, or the Shakti of Bhakti, and the Shakti of bliss, his pleasure potency. The as Padmanabha Maharaj was speaking yesterday about the Brahman feature, the impersonal, qualityless feature of the Absolute, that carries the chit potency. It's that much potency of Krishna. And the other potencies are hidden. And then the Paramatma feature, the localized, everywhere in everyone's heart and every atom, that is a combination of sat and chit. But Bhagavan, Krishna as a person, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is sat, chit, and ananda. So without the ananda potency, Ladini, that is Srimati Radhika, who's also the complete Swarup Shakti, Krishna can't be Bhagavan. He can't have his Bhagavan. Van means one who possesses, and Bhagya means fortune. Like he possesses all wealth, all beauty, all knowledge, all fame, all strength, all renunciation, only because of Radhika, only because he's Sat-Chit and Ananda. Without her being the embodiment of his qualities, of his powers, then he's only Paramatma or Brahma. Did that answer the question? Okay. So now we'll go on in the course of the day. And Gurudev advises, and all of our acharyas advise, that when we're chanting the holy names, because that's another period in our day, is the japa period, that in order to help us to chant japa, we remember certain prayers, certain verses, certain pastimes, and certain appeals that our previous acharyas have taught us. And if, as in most of our cases, at least mine, there is so many obstacles in chanting the pure name, so that the pure name doesn't manifest, but only offenses to the holy name manifest. So then we utter prayers and know that it's only due to my past offenses and sins that I'm not able to chant the holy name, the real holy name, that the holy name doesn't appear on my tongue or in my heart or in my ears. As Gurudev said yesterday, don't think that you're chanting Hare Krishna mantra, because the Hare Krishna mantra, right now our tongue is material, it's not purified from our past material activities. So the holy name won't appear to our material ears or on our material tongue or in our material mind. So don't think you're chanting Hare Krishna. We pray that Hare Krishna will descend upon us and come and purify our ears and purify our heart. So when it doesn't come, then we remember that it's because of my past sins and offenses that the real name is not coming. And then I become humble and realize that if I change my presence, present means present time, my present situation is coming as a result of my past situation, the things that I did, So if the things that I do now are good, then my future will be good. When Prabhupada was telling the story of Gajendra, the elephant, Gajendra was an elephant on the heavenly planets, and he had become an elephant because in his last life he was a devotee, but he committed an offense. So he became an elephant. But he remembered when he was attacked by the crocodile in the water. He remembered his past life. He remembered his past life's activities of chanting mantras and prayers. So those prayers came back into his mind, and then the Lord came and delivered him, and he went back to Godhead. So Prabhupada said, no matter what you are, no matter who you are, practice always chanting Brahma Samhita and so all the prayers that you're learning, and gradually they make impressions in the heart called sanskar, or impressions in the heart. Like if you have a rock and you take a rope and you go back and forth on the rock, nothing happens. But if you keep going back and forth on the rock a lot, then it starts making an impression that remains. So if I keep doing these good things, then gradually they make an impression in the heart, which changes my priorities in life, my decisions, my desires, and carries me to my next life and determines my next situation. Just like Bharat Maharaj from the play last night. He got some good impressions in his previous life. So even when he was a deer, as Gaurangi said in that beautiful monologue, he was lamenting so much what he did. And then, because he had the sanskars, he took advantage. And even as a deer, he used to associate and, you know, just stand around when the sages were reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. And those impressions brought him to his next life when he became Jada Bharat and a pure devotee. And he was able to make the king into a pure devotee. So our acharyas recommend that in all circumstances, and particularly when we're chanting our japa, we sing or in our minds, remember, verses. It could be verses in relation to humility and begging. Like, for example, in the beginning of the songbook, if you have the songbook, you can turn to it. In the beginning of the songbook, there's so many beautiful prayers. Like, for example, suppose I'm starting to chant my japa. So I may remember this prayer. Page 5 of the yellow book. Jayati jayati nama nandarupam marader viramita nija dharma dhyanat pujadiyatnam katamapi sakradatam muktidam praninam yat paramam amritam ekam jivanam bhushanam me. All glories to the name of Krishna Murari, the enemy of lust and the embodiment of divine bliss. And that name, that very name, is not a name, but it's actually Krishna Murari himself, appearing as a name. But that name, as Gurudev said in the last couple of nights, has all the powers of Krishna. The name can create and destroy innumerable universes in a minute. The name has all of the pastimes, all the Srimad Bhagavatams of all the universes in it. All the rasas and all their pastimes, all the qualities, all the incarnations in it. It halts the cycle of birth and death and relieves one from all other painful endeavors for perfection. It awards liberation even to one who utters namabhas, not even pure name, once. It stands alone as the supreme shelter and sole treasure of my life. Now, I would be lying if I said this, that it's the sole shelter of my life, because I take shelter of so many things. Like last night, I really loved taking shelter of the excellent buckwheat cake with icing. And I really got absorbed in that. So I would, on one hand, you could say, why should I say that prayer? It would be a lie for me. But actually, it really is the treasure of my life. I just forgot it. That's one way to see it. It's the only treasure and only shelter of my life. If I take shelter of anything else, then, Prabhupada explains in his translations of the Bhagavatam, then it's like taking shelter of one of the following two. Either a dog, the tail of a dog who's trying to swim across the ocean. Now, we know that a dog could paddle a couple of seconds, but try to get a dog to swim across the ocean and then take shelter of its tail. Or taking shelter of anything other than the name, or other than the guru, or other than the Harikatha, is like taking shelter of a stone boat. Imagine being on a stone boat in the middle of an ocean. In a second, you're down at the bottom. So, really, this is our only shelter. Now, another way to look at it, so that we don't find excuses for not chanting it, thinking that it's not sincere of me, is that Srila Gurudev said to, before praying any prayer and while praying any prayer, to pray to the person who wrote the prayer, in this case Srila Sanatan Goswami, that you feel this prayer and out of your sincere heart this prayer came. So you have the power, because you are my Shiksha Guru, you have the power to make this prayer my prayer too. So please do that. So that's why we pray first the Guru Vandana, the Vaishnava Vandana, the Mahaprabhu Vandana, Radha Krishna Vandana. That's why we pray the Jayadwani prayers. That's why we pray the Mahaprasadi Govinde prayers. Or just the whole process is to beg mercy. In fact, in one early lecture of Prabhupada, he was defining yoga. I think this was early as 1967, before a lot of your births. And Gurudev said, Prabhupada said, yoga means to pray to Krishna, I'm fallen, please save me. That's yoga, that's all. So this is bhakti yoga. And also I was at one 1969 lecture where Prabhupada kind of sang a sentence. He said, bhakti yoga is the highest process, but nobody knows it. So yoga means bhakti yoga, and bhakti yoga means praying. I'm fallen, please save me. That's yoga, that's all. So, especially us that are getting old and crotchety, we like to do yoga exercises of stretching to keep ourselves fit. So this yoga exercise keeps us fit in all ways, in the best ways. So we pray these prayers before and during japa, or while doing japa, or any time. We pray to Gurudev, because Gurudev is not separate from the mantra. He's in the mantra, because the mantra, he's certainly in the Guru mantra and in the Vaishnava mantras, but he's also in the Hare Krishna mantra, because the Hare Krishna mantra combines all the pastimes of Radha and Krishna with their associate. And he's also one of the associates. I asked Gurudev once if, while chanting, could I pray to Govardhan to help me chant and get the result of pure chanting. Like there's that prayer to Govardhan. What time does this class end? What time is that? So the prayer to Govardhan, Pramada Madana Leela Kandare Kandare Te Rochayatam Navajanor Dandamasmin Namandam Itikila Kalanarta Lagna Kastadayor Me Nijinikati Nivasam Dei Govardhanatam. O Govardhan, in great unlimited joy, you witness the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, the confidential pastimes of Radha and Krishna, in your caves and kunjas. So please benedict me to have a residence at your lotus feet so that I can also witness these pastimes. So I asked Gurudev, is it okay to pray this prayer while chanting? And Gurudev replied, you should pray to anybody who can help you. So any of the associates, Lalita, Vishaka, there's so many prayers to them, to Guru, we can remember any of these prayers before, after, and while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So a very nice prayer to Guru is Nama Shrestha Manamapi Sachi Putra Mudra Surupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Murupuri Maturim Gostavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasam Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Sigurum Tum Natosmi. That is, I'm fully indebted to my Gurudev, who gave me, Nama Shrestham, faith in the topmost mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra. And he gave me the Diksha mantras. And we'll discuss that in a few minutes also, because Diksha mantras are a part of many of you's day. Many of yours' days. And you gave me the service of Sachiputra, the son of Sachidevi, that is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his older brother, Sanatana Goswami, and all of their associates, and Urupurim, that is Mathura. You gave me service to the pastimes in Mathura. Now, do we want the service of the pastimes in Mathura? We want the service of the pastimes in Vrindavan. So what do we have to do with the pastimes in Mathura? When Srimati Radhika is feeling separation or transcendental jealous anger when Krishna is in Mathura, or when Krishna is feeling separation from Radhika when he's in Mathura, those pastimes we like to serve. And as Gurudev said, more than the pastimes of Radhika serving Krishna do we like. I'm sorry. More than the pastimes of Radhika feeling separation, we don't like those pastimes. We like the pastimes of Krishna feeling separation from Radha. We like to serve in those pastimes. We don't like when Radha feels separation. She does, so we serve those. Well, we want to, but we like when... See, Gurudev is training us what to like and what not to like. When we were in Jagannath Puri a few months ago, one devotee from Russia asked Gurudev, how can I understand Guru Parashraya, which is the first limb of the 64 limbs of Bhajana Kriya, of devotion? How can I get that, or how can I understand what is this Guru Parashraya? So Gurudev said to him, do you want Swarga? Do you want to go to the heavenly planets? He said, no. He said, do you want Vaikuntha? No. Do you want Dwarka or Mathura? No. Do you want to be a mother of Krishna? No. Do you want to be a friend of Krishna? No. Do you want to be a gopi like Lalita and Vishakha? No. What do you want? He said, I want to be a maidservant of Radha. So Gurudev said, that is Guru Parashraya. That shows that you're in it. And through that, you're going higher to actually realize that by engaging in the other limbs of Bhajana Kriya, or the 64, 9, 5, 3, and 1 main limb of devotional service. So then Urupurim means Vrindavan pastimes, and then Maturim, Gostavatim, the pastimes of Vrindavan. And then you gave me service to Radha Kund and Govardhan. And on top of it all, the service to Radha and Madhava. So therefore, I'm indebted. Now, if I say that prayer, it would also be a lie because I didn't get those things yet. So therefore, I put a P.S. at the end. I don't change the prayer, but I put a P.S. at the end that please give me those things. I pray to Raghunath Das Goswami, who wrote the prayer, to help me make this my prayer. And I pray to Guru and all the people in the prayer to help me make this my prayer. So all these very beautiful prayers can be remembered at the time of japa. Then there's another prayer in humility. There's so many, there are thousands. Sangsara dukkha jalado patitasya kama krodadi nakrama karaya kavali kritasya durvasana nigatitasya nirasrayasya Chaitanya Chandra Mamadehi Padavalambam. O Chaitanya Chandra, I'm trapped under the net of material existence. Not only am I under a net, that wouldn't be so bad, except that the net is under the ocean, at the bottom of the ocean of material existence, of birth and death. And on top of that, there's all these man-eating fishes in there, like alligators and crocodiles. That's on page 8 of the songbook. Alligators and crocodiles of lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, and envy. And on top of that, I can't even use my hands to get out because my hands are tied behind, not even tied behind my back, but chained behind my back with the chains of wicked desires. So I'm completely helpless. So I beg you to please give me the service of your lotus feet, the dust of your lotus feet, to pull me out. So I'm the lowest, and I'm praying for the highest, and I'm praying to be made the highest. As Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays in his introduction to the Sharanagati prayers, now I am Adam, I'm the lowest. Please make me Uttam by instilling in my heart the principles, the six principles of Sharanagati. So, that's our japa time. Then, I forgot to do something before chanting japa, which is I forgot to put on tilak. So, better late than never. Let's put on tilak now. But Srila Gurudev explains that putting on tilak is not just an external thing. And as in rote memory, saying some names. And just by saying the name Keshava, Om Keshavaya Namaha, and putting on the clay, that I'm automatically going to get Keshava's protection. And who is Keshava anyway? So therefore, it requires a lot of meditation. So let's say I'm putting on the tilak of Keshava, and I'm saying Om Keshavaya Namaha. Now, Krishna is everything. Okay, Janmadhyasiyataha. He's the Advaya Gyan. Advaya means non-dual. And Gyan, Advaya Gyan, he's the embodiment, complete embodiment of cognizance. Advaya Gyan, the one without a second embodiment of all cognizance. Para means supreme. Tattva means truth. He's the one without a second, supreme, absolute truth. Now, I hope that all of you who haven't already gotten it will get that book, Secret Truths of the Bhagavatam. As Gurudev said last night, I think Shyamarani collected these lectures. So these lectures are collected. The Janmadhyasya lecture about the different levels of meaning of the verse is there in the very beginning, first chapter of Secret Truths of the Bhagavatam. So there, that one without a second absolute truth, in the most general sense, is the Sarvesvara, controller of all controllers, breather out of all the universes, source of all incarnations. Then, beyond that, is that absolute truth, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sri Sanatana Goswami. Now here, Sanatan, and I'm going to tell you about that one without a second absolute truth, who wears a peacock feather in his hair, and who is Brajendra Nandan, the son of Nanda Maharaj, which makes him, that very same person, as the beloved of Srimati Radhika and the friend of Subal Sakha. So, that's a more deep understanding of the verse. How did I get onto this verse, anyway? Right, right. So similarly, there's, and then the higher of Brajendra Nandan is Radhika Raman, the same person, but a more complete version of him. So the highest Satyam Param, Supreme Absolute Truth, Dhimahi, upon whom we meditate, or should, or would, or want to, is, and when we get mercy from Guru, then we can meditate. We try. And what we are doing is meditating on our mind's version of that. So when the mercy comes down, that's why we endeavor by doing Guru Seva, by doing the sadhana, by preaching, by distributing books, by following whatever instruction he gave us as individuals, and simultaneously praying. And then, so the endeavor alone is not going to do it, but when he sees all those endeavors and prayers and sincerity, then it comes as the reality. He gives it. Okay, here. When he gives it only, then we have it. Then we can actually meditate. And that's called bhava bhakti. But he gives all the stages. He gives prema bhakti, bhava bhakti, and then asakti, and ruchi, and nishta, and all that, and artha nivritti. They're all coming by the mercy of Guru. Prema bhakti yaha hoiti avidya vinasa jati. He gives prema bhakti and takes away ignorance in the gradual stages. So similarly, back to the tilak. Keshava also has so many levels of completeness in their meaning. Like Keshava is a form of Lord Vishnu, who has fine hair. Keshava is also he who combs and decorates the kesh, or the hair of Srimati Radhika, which, after he decorates it with flowers and jewels, it looks so beautiful that it becomes like a snake that bites him and makes him go unconscious. So, once I was with Gurudev when he was putting on tilak, and he said that he chants the names of Radha. So I asked, should we chant the names of Radha? He said, no, because you're in Vaidhi Bhakti, you have to chant the appropriate names. But in your heart, you should be thinking Radha, Radha, Radha. So we can think of those names in relation to its any feature we want. But the completest feature, which gives us actually the goal of putting on the tilak, the goal of all our activities, including the goal of putting on the tilak. That is, when we chant Keshavaya Namaha, if we remember that Keshava, and then Namaha means I offer my obeisances, but it also means etymologically I'm offering myself. So I'm not really offering myself, but I'm praying to offer myself. Like when, Gurudev gave this analogy, when a couple gets married, they have to promise before the priest that I will serve and protect this lady for the rest of my life. I will serve this man for the rest of my life. So just by saying that once, that's supposed to last, and in at least in non-Kali Yuga marriages, it does last the rest of the life, or until the husband takes sannyas. Therefore, Gurudev said, if you're saying something so many times, nama or swaha, so many times, in the Gayatri mantras or in the Tilak mantras, then it will have its effect and become a reality. And we pray, we put our PS that make this a reality. So, Om Keshavaya Namaha, I'm offering myself, offering obeisances, but then deeper than that, I'm offering myself to that Keshava. Please, I have no power to offer myself. So you please take myself. That's the Jai. Please be victorious over my enemies, lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, and envy, so that I become fit, so that you can take myself. Like Gurudev said, I want you to collect so many flowers, closed flowers or buds, in your preaching, and give me those buds so that I can nurture those buds and make them into blooming flowers, qualified for me to be able to offer them to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna in the kunjas of Vrindavan. So, for those of you who just came in, where we've been going through the life, the day in the life of a aspiring devotee, and now we're up to putting on tilak. And just to reiterate, Gurudev said tilak is not just saying the mantras quickly and thinking that the clay will protect us from Maya, but it's the sincere and appealing, and you could use the word groveling, prayers, along with the powerful names, because the name Keshava also has the power to create and destroy many universes. The other night I told, at the temple at Hilo, I told the story of what Gurudev told in Badger, and perhaps in Italy also, regarding Mahatsanga, in terms of power, that Viswamitra Muni and Vasistha Muni, two great powerful sages, were having an argument. Viswamitra Muni said that my austerities, powerful, severe austerities, are the highest thing, the greatest thing. And Vasistha Muni said, no, the power of my sadhu sangha is the highest thing. So they were arguing back and forth and they couldn't come to a conclusion. So they both approached Anantadev, that millions of headed serpent who holds up all the universes on his hoods. The universes are as small as mustard seeds on his very large heads. So they approached him to answer this weighty question. So he said, this is a very weighty question. And I'm already doing so many heavy, weighty things of carrying these universes that I don't know if I can handle the question. So if one of you would take the burden of one universe off of me, then I think I could be able to handle this heavy question. So Viswamitra Muni said, okay, I'll give you all the results of my austerities. So Ananta started pulling his head back from the universe, and immediately there were earthquakes and cyclones and all kinds of horrible conditions. So he immediately put his head back. And then Vasistha Muni said, I'll give you 1 second of the results of my sadhu sangha. And so with that, he took out his head and the universe floated. So that's a second of sadhu sangha, and sadhu sangha is one who has taken shelter of that sat, that satyam param, who we dimahi, who we want to meditate upon, ultimately Srimati Radhika. Because sadhu comes from sat, sat sangha, sadhu sangha. And Sadhu, during the rasa dance, Krishna was able to sing up to the fifth note, Sa Re Ga Ma Pa, in his songs. And the gopis sang up to the eighth note, Sa Re Ga Ma Pa Da Ni Sa. And then Gurudev went even higher than that. And so Krishna clapped and said, Sadhu, Sadhu, which means, oh, great, great. So really the gopis are the original sadhus. And anyone who's has taken their shelter and is theirs, they are the real sadhus. And others are percentages of sadhu. They are the full sadhu. So what to speak of the power of the name? The name of Keshava, or the name of any name of Krishna. So the putting on of tilak can have so much power for us if we take advantage. Just like the Jayadwani prayers that we discussed about an hour ago. I'm saying Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Now if I'm really thinking Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, and then there's so many paintings of him that we could remember, and all the great things that he did, even when he was beaten to death and all of his skin and muscles came off and he was just some bones with bloods on it, and he was beaten in 22 marketplaces, whipped, and then they threw him in the river, and then he came out the other side fit as a fiddle, beautiful, young as ever, because of his nam chanting. So by remembering that and then sincerely praying for his jai, for Haridas Thakur to help us and give us what he has, it has so much power. So when we say tilak mantras and put on the tilak, remembering what is the tilak, what is this clay, that it comes from when Krishna had a headache and he told Narada Muni that the only thing that could get rid of my headache is the dust from the lotus feet of my devotees. And then Narada went to the queens and the sages, and they wouldn't give the dust of their feet because they said, my husband, he's worshipable by me. How can I give him the dust of my feet? And the sages, everybody. So then he went, nobody would give. Then he finally came to the gopis, and they said, oh, dust? And they said, take all the dust. And then they got piles of more dust, and they kept putting their feet on more piles and bringing more piles and more gopis. And then Narada said, aren't you afraid of going to hell? So they said, never mind, we shall go to hell. Just let Krishna be cured. Prabhupada told this, and Gurudev told it. So all that dust went to Dwarka, where Krishna had a headache. And Krishna put it on him, and he felt the presence of the gopis, because they're non-different from the dust of their feet. And then his disease, which was separation and misery and torment, was over. So we can remember that. The leaf being Vrindavan, Vrinda. Tulsi being Vrinda, being Vrindavan. And the two lines being Radha and Krishna, and this clear thing being our desire to serve them in Vrindavan. So it's a great meditation, an opportunity, just the same, putting on of tilak. So Om Keshavaya Namaha, Om Narayanaya Namaha. All these names have general meanings of the opulence of Krishna in his Aishwarya or opulent feature. And they also have deeper significance in their consideration of Rus. So we can remember, for example, Prabhupada told this and Gurudev told this, and it's also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Krishna left the rasa dance and hid from the gopis, he pretended to be Lord Narayan, and he manifested two more arms. So when the gopis passed him, they didn't become overwhelmed or attracted by the Narayan feature, but they didn't recognize that it was Krishna. They just said, "Have you seen Krishna?" So that was their credit, but an even greater credit was that when Radhika came to find Krishna after the gopis, he kept trying to keep his extra two arms, but it kept disappearing into his stomach. And there's a particular holy place in Vrindavan where that happened, and Gurudev takes the devotees there every year, called Paitagram. Paita means stomach. So his two extra arms kept going into his stomach. So that Narayan, we can remember. And who else is there? Om Narayanaya Namah. Om Madhavaya Namah. So Madhava is only Madhava. Ma means the goddess of fortune. And Srimati Radhika is Sarva Lakshmi Mayi. She is the embodiment of unlimited goddesses of fortune, unlimited Lakshmis, or Ma's. When we say Ishvara Parama Krishna, you all know that verse. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. So Krishna is Parama. He's the supreme. But in the Brahma Samhita, our acharyas, you can read this in Gurudev's Brahma Samhita translation. Parama. Ma means Lakshmi, or ultimately Radha. And Para means the supreme Ma. The supreme Lakshmi, or Radhika, is Parama. So Krishna can only be Parama, Ishvara Parama. He can only be the Ishvara Parama because Radhika is by his side. Like Sri Krishna. Sri means Srimati Radhika. And then he's Sri, then he's full of his opulences. So that is the completest form of Krishna when he's with Radhika and the gopis. So Madhava, he is the beloved of Ma, or Madhavi. Because Radhika is Madhavi, therefore Krishna is Madhava. Or Krishna is, let's see, Om Keshavaya Namah, Om Narayanaya Namah, Om Madhavaya Namah, Om Govindaya Namah. Govinda. Govinda means, as you know, he who pleases the senses, the mind, the brahmanas, the land. But the ultimate and most complete meaning of Govinda, Govinda Nandini, Govinda Sarvasva. Radhika is the be-all and end-all. Govinda Sarvasva means that Radhika is the be-all and end-all of Govinda. She's his everything. She's his up, down, side, his servant, his master, his friend, his beloved, his teacher, his assistant, his all in all. And she is Govinda Mohini. She is the bewilderer of Govinda. So the highest feature of Govinda is when he's Govinda, that is bewildered by Govinda Mohini, Radhika. So in all the names, we can meditate on so many things within that time. Again, it's a race against time. Once I was at the very, very first Brahminical initiation in the West in 1968. And Prabhupada was going to put the Brahmins threads on the new Brahmins. So they had to have the bare shirt. And whenever anybody's tilak was not neat, just, you know, sometimes it looks like a blob, then Prabhupada told them to go out of the room and go put it on again and then come back. Because, as Gurudev said, it would have been absurd to explain all the deep significances to the little newborn babies at that time. But really, because it's a meditation, and I'm sure he explained it in groups that were qualified. Just like we never knew that Prabhupada said don't eat carrots. because he gave us the recipe for carrot halva in the beginning. But Bhavatarini Didi has personal experience where Prabhupada told somebody that carrots are not offerable. So it's not that everybody had to hear, if everybody didn't hear it, he didn't say it. So where are we? All right, so Prabhupada wanted the tilak to be neat because it's actually a meditation. Of the leaf is Vrindavan, and the lines are Radha and Krishna, and the inside is our clear desire to serve them. So, which name are we on? Huh? Om Vishnave Namaha. So, Vikriditam, what is it? What's that verse? What? Loud? Oh yeah. Vikriditam Rajabadubi Idam Cha Vishnu. We know of the Aishwarya feature of Krishna as Vishnu. That is, what is it? Vishnu is everywhere. He's in Vaikuntha. He's sitting in everyone's heart, his four-armed feature. But then, Vikriditam Brajabadubir Idam Cha Vishnu. There's the more complete feature, the complete feature of Vishnu, and that is Krishna, who danced in the Rasa dance so fast, going from one gobi to another, that it was like, you know when you have a stick of incense and you're going round and round, or even my hand can do it. It looks like my hand is every place, but it's not really. It's really like that. But when it goes fast, it looks like it's everywhere at one time, making a circle. So because Krishna was running so fast from one gobi to another, it seemed that he was everywhere at one time. And that is that Vishnu, that if one meditates or hears the pastimes of that Vishnu with the gopis or other pastimes under the guidance of the parampara, with faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he becomes free from lust and all the other enemies, and he attains parabhakti, or brajabhakti. So it's that Vishnu. So there's a lot of quick thinking that goes on in all of our Jayadwani prayers, our praying at the time of honoring prasadam, at putting on tilak, at chanting our Hare Krishna mantra. So what's another name in the tilak? Om Madhusudanaya Namaha. So again, Namaha means I offer my obeisances, but it also means, maybe if you could ask Madhav Maharaj in his next class, Nama, how that means, what the breakdown is. Nama, I offer my full self. Which means the same thing as Swaha. I offer myself. Like we say Swaha, when we have the fire sacrifice, means I'm offering myself, just symbolically represented as the grains. So, Om Madhusudanaya Namaha. Madhusudana is he who destroys the so-called sweetness of this material world. What is the sweetest thing in this world? Sex desire. And its resultant reactions and results. So, Krishna destroys the lust in the heart, and so he's called Madhusudana. He destroys the whole material existence. He's also Madhusudana because he engages in very sweet, honey-like pastimes with the gopis and destroys the pain of their separation. So we can remember Madhusudana in that way. Or that story of Prem Sarovara, where Madhu Mangal chased away the bumblebee. Bumblebee is also Madhusudana because the bee takes the honey, the madhu, from the flowers. And when he said, Madhusudana is gone, even though Radha was sitting on Krishna's lap, she thought, oh, Krishna's gone. And she began screaming and beating her chest and crying in agony, and Krishna couldn't console her, even though she was sitting around his lap. So that Madhusudana. And what's another name? Trivikramaya Namaha. So in Aishwarya, Trivikram is Vamandev. Vamandev is the dwarf Brahmana incarnation of Krishna, who asked Bali Maharaj for the three steps of land. And then, as you know, the first step covered the whole universe. The second step went beyond the universe and created the Ganges River. The third step went on Bali Maharaj's head for surrender. So that's the Aishwarya feature. But then that very Vamandev is ridiculed in prem, in separation, by Srimati Radhika, who is saying, when she's speaking to the bumblebee, practically with no breathing and no life in her, dying of separation, she's chastising that same Krishna who's not only black in this life, but we've heard from Purnamasa Yogamaya that he was black in his past lives too. When he came as Vamandev, Bali Maharaj was kind enough to give him anything he wanted, but he took everything away from him and sent him to the lower regions. So he was a cheater then also as Vamandev. So that same Krishna cheated us now. We gave him everything. We left our husbands and everything. And then he went off to enjoy all the ladies in Mathura. So these are just skeletons or outlines that I'm saying. And you can fluff out the compressed cotton into big fluffs just by reading Prabhupada's and Gurudev's books and hearing their classes. You'll hear so many more deep meanings of these names. So we're just at the very beginning of the day and the time is now over. So we can talk about the rest of the day if I get called on to give class again and during this week. And during the second part of the day, we'll talk about going to work, taking care of the kids at home, and if you have on your altar that new poster that they're selling in the back during the evening times, then we'll also talk about that picture and different ways to meditate on that. So right now I'll ask if there's any questions or comments. Loud. Oh, we'll also talk about Gayatri mantra, because there are three times to say it and we're already out of the morning now. So for noon and evening Gayatri, we'll talk about that in the next class too. Yes. Yes. At least if you're doing it the normal way. My name is Jadarani because I take after Jadabharata, who did everything backwards. He took a shower, then he went to the bathroom. Yeah. But if you do it the normal way, that's the way. So, loud.
In the very beginning, you said, you mentioned how if Gurudev is giving lecture and he wants it to come in one ear and go down into the heart. So, otherwise, if we start thinking of mundane things afterwards, it's gone. The entire power of the lecture is gone. So, how is that?
Of course, something is there because during the class something was coming, but there's no comparison.
So something stays.
Something stays.
Some smaller amount stays. That's my question.
Yeah. It couldn't be a complete waste. Yeah, what's the use?
How does that work that Sadhusanga is so powerful, but then if you're not listening?
Well, just like Gurudev says, Gurudev speaks in absolutes when it's really not absolute. Like yesterday, I think it was yesterday, he said, so you're reading all the cantos of the Bhagavatam, and then you're reading the 10th canto, And then there's those five chapters about Rus, five chapters called Rus Panchajai, the five chapters about Rasa Lila and the events before and after Rasa Lila. He said, people want to take out those chapters from the Bhagavatam, but if you take out those chapters, what do you have? Nothing. But there's not nothing. Yeah.
You mentioned that when you're trying to taste prasad, you're not really tasting prasad.
Loud.
When we're trying to taste prasad, it's very difficult. We're not really tasting prasad. So when we try to hear from Gurudev or associate with the advanced devotees, are we also not really associating with our Gurudev? Also very difficult. Is a Gurudev
Did everybody hear the question? If we're not really taking prasadam, because taking prasadam means tasting the rus, if we're not really chanting, then are we also not really associating with our Gurudev at the present time? Is it like an association abhas, or a shadow or semblance of association? I'll begin the answer to that question by telling a question that I asked of Gurudev. I said, how could the closest associates of our Prabhupada, who used to travel with him, be his personal secretaries, spend more time with him than anybody else, how could they be the ones who are now, going against his mission? So Gurudev said, actually they weren't really associating with him, they were only associating with him externally. Just like there's real initiation and not real initiation. There's anusthanika diksha, which is just swaha swaha and the fire sacrifice. And then there's vidva viruta diksha, which is when the thing goes in the heart. So similarly, real association with Guru is called, what is that intimate association? A seva called? Visrambena Guru Seva. Intimate service and association, which comes around the time of Raganuga Bhakti, when you realize your soul's relationship with Guru in his soul, soul to soul, thinking of him in his gopi feature and you in your gopi feature. It can't be imitated. We can intellectualize it now, but it won't be real. Yes, he's a gopi, I'm a gopi, and I'm assisting him in the services. It's all intellectual and imaginary. But when that really starts coming, and then the service to him in that world and in this world, and then externally manifest in this world, comes that visrambena guru seva, that's real total association. Just like this Krishna, complete, more complete and most complete, and the shadow of Krishna, which is the Brahma Jyoti. So similarly, there's a semblance of association with Guru, and there's more complete and most complete. Most complete is when he gives the 11 dasas, or perfections, at the time of giving bhava bhakti. What's your name? Where do you live? Who's your husband? What's your seva? When he gives that, and at the same time that bhava's coming and he descends bhava bhakti into the heart, that's when the realest association begins. And then when we enter Vastu City with our full spiritual body, then that's complete association with Sri Guru. Like Gurudev has complete association with his Diksha and Shiksha Gurus. That is Srila Bhakti Pragyan Kesava Gosai Maharaj and our Srila Prabhupada. He has complete association with them. Like he can hear them talking to him at any moment and every moment. He's serving here, like say Srila Raghunath Das Goswami and Srila Rupa Goswami. Here in this world, it was visrambena guru seva, intimate service in this world, in their Goswami forms, with deep love and oneness of heart that we pray for in all of our Guru Vandanas and Vaishnava Vandanas. And then in that world also, like the first verse of Valapakus Manjali, Raghunath Das Goswami is praying, O Rupa Manjari, although you're famous in this town of Braj as a very chaste lady, even though your husband is away for a few days buying cows or something, anything. I see that you have a cut, a fresh cut on your bimba fruit-like lips. Did any of you ever see bimba fruits? It's like a tomato, but it's much redder, and inside is much more delicious, like a papaya and a mango combined. And it looks like a tomato, but it's more red inside. That's a bimba fruit. So a lot of Krishna's associates, their lips are compared with bimba fruits. And it's really like full. But I see that you have fresh cuts on your bimba fruit-like lips. Is it that some big parrot has come and bitten it? So the significance of that is that when I was in my internal consciousness, I saw you as Rupa Manjari, and Radhika was kissed by Krishna and got bit on her lips. And because you are her maidservant and all of her bodily signs and mental, emotional signs come on the Manjaris, you also got the cut on your lip. And I saw you like that, and I was laughing at that time when I saw it, and I asked you that question. So now Raghunath Das Goswami is praying to Rupa Goswami, but he's not laughing because he came out of his internal consciousness, and now he's rolling on the ground of Radhakund, weeping in separation to re-serve in those pastimes. So before he was laughing, and now he's weeping bitterly. So I forgot your question. Yeah, so that's Visvambena Gurose Van Real Association.
Can I ask the same question again, but on a different level?
Yeah.
Louder. One great regret I have in life is that I came to Gurudev so late, and I'm always thinking that, you know, maybe Gurudev, after a few years, I wouldn't see him, and I've got the whole of the rest of my life to regret not being able to associate more effectively, not being pure enough to hear and invite his message.
Does everybody, nobody's hearing you?
No, you
haven't. I'll repeat it, okay. Increase or amplify
the effect that Gurudev is having on us now, and you know, take it away with us to our respective countries, and make that more that memory more vivid in the short term.
Good question. The question is, I regret that I came to Gurudev so late, and in a few years he'll be leaving us from the physical realm. And then I'll just be regretting for the rest of my life. And how can I... Then comes the question.
How can I
make now, since I came so late and there's only a few years left, and you don't get really much, that much personal discussions with him, and it's only like a few days a year, or it tops, most of us are in the same places with him twice a year, maybe in our own country, once at Kartik, once at Navadweep, maybe once in another country. And it's only for a few days, and maybe I get to speak to him personally once or twice, and it's only for 3 minutes. So then I go home and regret and get lost in my other world. How can I amplify my relationship with Gurudev now so that right now means one right now, so that when I go back to my country after the 11th, the experience can come with me, and it'll keep growing and growing when I'm in my own country. So that's for right now. And also, in these few years that Gurudev is going to remain on the earth, manifest. He'll remain anyway, but manifest. How can I amplify my relationship with him in the next few years so that for the rest of my life, it'll grow and grow? Okay, so that answer is many class worths. But in a nutshell, he's giving the secrets in all of his classes. That is, last night he said, you have to learn this philosophy, study the philosophy, hear the philosophy, hear his tapes, lament, do lament. It's good that we lament and regret when we're not with him. And pray to all these people in the Jayadwani prayers, that please let me be with him as soon as possible. Because when we are with him physically, even if he doesn't say a word, the prema atoms that are in his body come out and they fall on anybody around. Like if you're in a room full of incense, the incense doesn't have to speak, but you get the smell or musk. Or if you're at a holy place, even if the holy place doesn't speak to you, just the atmosphere comes in you, the dust, the air, everything. So it has special power. But if we're lamenting and praying and following his instructions, then we can also get sadhu sangha, because sadhu sangha defined is samyak rupena anugamana, which means fully following that sadhu by body, mind, words, and heart. That otherwise it's not really sadhu sangha. Like he said, just like you're here, you, Mahaprabhu, is here, and your wife Janavi is in Muwilamba. So you're thinking, I wonder how my wife and kids are. I wonder if they're... she really doesn't know how to drive the car too well, so the car's always breaking down. Maybe she's not going to be able to go to the supermarket or blah, blah, blah. And she's thinking, in Muwilambar, oh, my husband is so lucky. He's getting to hear the Harikatha, and oh, he's with Gurudev, and Gurudev must be doing this, and oh, Gurudev has written these books, and I'm reading the books, and I'm just thinking how lucky my husband is. She's getting more benefit than you, more sadhu sangha. So, but if you're here, really fully here, then you're getting more sadhu sangha. So taking it full advantage here, as he's telling every minute, hearing it, letting it go in, remembering it, talking about it, going into the books where he's talked about it, like that Secret Truths of the Bhagavatam, repeating it, sharing it, then following this program, not as I've outlined, I haven't outlined the day in the life of the devotee, but our acharyas have outlined it, Prabhupada's outlined it, Gurudev has outlined it on many occasions, and I'm just in a shadow way repeating it, of how we chant our rounds and things. And then begging, when I'm not in the physical presence, begging the books that they made, that, oh, Diksha Guru, oh, Shiksha Guru, oh, Guru Parampara, oh, associates of Rupa Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, oh, speaker of this book, oh, hearer of this book, oh, those who are the subject of this book, you are all sitting next to me and you're all my Shiksha Gurus. Please bring me into the deepest understanding of this book so that I can come out as a servant of Radha Krishna Kanjugal, so that they'll all be there with you and the book itself will give you understanding. Not that I'm going to read this book and understand it by my power. And then praying, always lamenting that I don't have the association and praying for it. We see so many prayers in the scriptures where Dhruva Maharaj is glorifying, is begging for the association of pure devotees. And who was that yesterday? Nityananda? As Jadabharat? Nisringa, right. Nisringa Prabhu as Jadabharat. He was glorifying to Jadabharat, to Rahugana, the glories of having the association of pure devotees. So it's in all of our scriptures. So if we lament and beg, that's good. It's not bad. If we regret and lament and pray and weep for that and then do everything in our power. So many times I've heard from devotees stories about they had no money, they had no leave from the job, and all of a sudden they just had the desire, and all of a sudden Krishna made all kinds of arrangements and they ended up plopped. Gurudev just plopped them there in another country in his sadhu sangha. Does that answer it? And asking him personally, please give me specific instructions that I can keep in my heart for after I leave here and follow to increase perpetually my relationship with you so that it becomes this Rambena Guru Seva. Because once that stage comes, then it's just a speedy flying to the ultimate goal. Loud.
Just for example, to give you an example, when I was doing an in
movement, either come here or shout. To give you an example,
on the planet at the time, but we didn't always get Srila Prabhupada's direct association. So Prabhupada always said that I live in my instructions, and one who follows those instructions lives with me. So I remember one day, Prabhupada had always said, distribute my books, distribute my books. So I thought, oh, this is how to associate with my Prabhupada, follow his instruction. So I would be out on book distribution, and on all of our books, we always had a picture of Prabhupada there. And so we'd be distributing the books, and one day I was distributing the books, and it was so beautiful. I went to come back into the car after a full day of distributing Prabhupada's books, and there was a few books left, and I set Srila Prabhupada's books on the seat next to me, and I just glanced over for a second, and Prabhupada was fully there, smiling at me. It was so beautiful. So Guru is always with you, never leaves you, never. Follow his instructions, you live in him. As Shamarani does.
No, I don't. But
her speech, very nice, reminded me that Gurudev also said that. He said, always remember that just as water and liquidity or fire and heat can never be separated, always remember that we are never separated. When he was in Mawilambar, not this time but last time, and he gave all those lectures on Gurudeva Tatma, remember that? That the Guru is non-different from your Atma. He is your Atma. More intimate than your Atma, than your own soul. So he gave about 5 lectures about that. And after a couple of the lectures, I had to go over to where he was staying to ask Madhav Maharaj some questions. So it happened that Gurudev was passing by the hall. So I thought, oh, I might as well ask my question. I said, Gurudev, you've been giving these lectures saying that the Guru is more intimate than our Atma, but I never think about you like that. I always, whenever I see you, I always feel guilty that I'm not serving you properly and not properly follow your instructions, and that creates a wall. So he said, yes, that's why I gave the lecture, so you'd understand. There's never any time when there's separation between us. Just like there's no separation between Krishna and the gopis. And yet, the gopis are always feeling separation. I'll tell you a very ghastly story that happened to ghastly me. I was on a plane. I was on an airplane coming from Brazil. Where's Rama Devi? She here? Oh, yeah. I was just leaving your house. You had just put me on a plane. And coming from Brazil back to India, to Vrindavan. And I was thinking, yeah, we had a successful preaching tour. You know, I was kind of proud of myself sitting on the plane. And I never watch, the movies that they show on the airplane. Maybe for a second will pull me up and then I'll pull myself down. But this time it was going to India and it was an Indian movie. So my mind rationalized. I only watched a few minutes of the movie. And the usual Indian movie is, you know, the family wants the girl to marry somebody, but she wants to marry somebody else, and then they have this love affair, and they do all these stupid dances and songs together. And then the boyfriend gets beaten up, and, you know, he carries the girl in his arms, and she gets beaten up. It's the same movie. Anyway, so I only watched about 5 minutes of it. But as I was watching it, both Prabhupada and Gurudev appeared over my shoulder. And they both said to me, very loud and very clear, don't watch that movie. Something terrible will happen. And I said to myself, they're not really there. It's my imagination. So again, I only watched a few minutes, but it was enough to create an impression. So then I reached Delhi, And we were in a taxi on the way to Vrindavan from Delhi. And the taxi driver had packed, it was one of those tin can taxis. You know what I mean? There's the heavy ambassadors, and then there's the square tin can ones. And the, what do you call it? The taxi driver had packed a big gas can on one side of it and packed the suitcases in this really weird way. So it was lopsided. Then I was chanting my japa, trying to follow the instructions about remembering. I even had the songbook right in front of me. But because of the strong impression that those few minutes made, what came in my mind was that guy that was standing there all bloody and beaten by the brother of the girl. So all of a sudden it started raining. Just for 5 minutes it rained. And during that 5 minutes, the car skidded. And because of the weird weight of the suitcases, the car rolled over 3 times. And the whole thing was totaled. The car was completely totaled. The driver had disappeared so that he wouldn't be beaten to death by all the people. And Rama's brand new thermos that she gave me had gone through the window and was completely smashed to smithereens and other things that she had given me. And I didn't have anything outside, but I had 3 broken bones inside, just like the guy in the movie. So the point was that Prabhupada and Gurudev were there telling me not to watch the movie. So and then Gurudev came to visit me after I got all, bandaged up. And he said, "You were supposed to die, but Krishna let you live because you have more service that you didn't finish yet." So I guess we'll end here unless one more person had, yeah.
I just wanted to ask, what prayers should we pray to Sanatana Goswami for you said to do these prayers to Ramdas?
I'm sorry?
You said to pray these prayers, but to pray to the person that made these prayers. So which prayers are for Sanatana Goswami?
Well, to pray to him just to say the prayer, you can just ask him. But the prayers to him for more deep relationship with him in general and for more mercy in general is there also in the songbook. What page is it on? Page 7. Vairagi yug bhakti rasam prayatna apayanam mama nabhismandam kripambudi yak paraduka duki sanatanastam prabhumashrayami. I was unwilling to drink the nectar of... This is a prayer by Raghunath Das Goswami. I was unwilling to drink the nectar of bhakti ras laced with renunciation, but Srila Sanatana Goswami, being an ocean of mercy, who cannot tolerate the sufferings of others, induced me to drink it. Therefore, I take shelter of him. Also, the 6th Goswami Astikam, Bande Rupa Sanatano Rurguyago, that one also. So, I guess we'll end here. And, oh yes, I'm sorry, Srila Prabhu. Sorry. Loud?
Just to add to the deity that said that...
Can everybody hear? Atiti, can you hear? Can you hear him?
The instructions of...
You want to come here? Okay.
Following the instructions of the guru is his association, it is his mercy, but particularly she was outlining one particular instruction that is by distributing books you are giving Prabhupada and Krishna to others. So I was...
Did everybody hear? He said that in regard to what Panchali Didi said, an expansion of that, is that if we give Gurudev and Prabhupada to others, 1, 2, 3, 10, 100, then we'll get their mercy of their association. Not only doing that, because many of our God brothers also preached externally, but because they didn't do the internal stuff, they left, but the internal stuff plus the preaching, then we get Gurudev's mercy to be with him, because he can empower us to be with him at any time. In fact, that reminds me of Ashram Maharaj asked Gurudev in Nabadweep that wouldn't it be better if your sannyasis just stayed with you and traveled with you to give us protection and strength? And Gurudev said, you don't realize that when you're out there preaching on my behalf, I give you power and I'm there with you. So because it's Gurudev's, the reason that Gurudev came to this world was to collect those flowers. So if we do his mission, assist in that mission, then he gives very special mercy in his own presence. But it has to be included with the internal stuff. So that's really good, is the preaching. That gives his association and consolation. Okay, I guess, yes, Manjari? Loud. Oh, thanks. You mean after the broken bones? Thanks. He wouldn't have taken me. He would have put me in another hellish planet. Okay, Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo. Oh, a very small bhajan, 2-minute bhajan. Chiranjeev Prabhu. Just 2 minutes because I'm so late.
Thank you.
Jai Shri Shri Guru Guranga Gandharvika Giri Hari Shri Shri Radhivinod Bihari Jivki Jai Nitya Lila Pravishtam Vishnu Pada Stodara Sita Shri Shri Manchila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnu Pada Panamahansa Vari Prajigachara Jai Stodara Sita Shri Shri Manchila Bhakti Vedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai Nitya Lila Pravishtam Vishnu Pada Stodara Sita Shri Shri Manchila Bhakti Priyan Keshava Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavat Koga Shodas Babaji Maharaj Ki Jai Sri Satchidananda Bhakti Vinod Thakur Ki Jai Sri Vaishnava Sarvabhauma Sri Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj Ki Jai Rupanuga Guru Varga Ki Jai Sri Gaudivedanta Charya Srila Baladeva Jibhusan Prabhu Ki Jai Sri Vasunath Chakravarti Thakur Ki Jai Sri Narottam Srinivas Ramananda Prabhu Trai Ki Jai Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Prabhu Ki Jai Sri Rup Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath Sri Jiva Gopala Bhattadasa Raghunath Sad Goswami Prabhu Ki Jai Namacharya Shaladidas Thakur Ki Jai Sri Srup Dhamadar Ramanandari Sri Gopashadavindi Ki Jai Prem Sikho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunati Ananda Sri Dwaita Gadadha Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivindi Ki Jai Sri Antadweep Maya Porsa Mandadweep Kodadweep Mandadweep Koladweep Vittadweep Janadweep Mordadweep Madweep Pudadweep Bhavmakashi Navadweep Thama Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gop Goi Go Govardhan Dwara Savanamika Sri Vajmanala Thama Ki Jai Dara Savavana Ki Jai Sri Shamgunda Radhagunda Tulsi Bhakti Jamana Ganga Devi Ki Jai Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Sudarshan Prabhu Ki Jai Bhakti Pravara Sri Pralan Maharaj Ki Jai Bhakti Vigyamanas and Nakarishan Shringa Bhagavan Ki Jai Charodam Charo Sampradaya Charo Chari Ki Jai Gramat Raji Chaitanamat Ki Jai Oranandi Sakamat Samui Ki Jai Sri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai Samagat Bhakti Vrindi Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo Panchako Bhattarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Enibhyo Namo Namo. When Gurudev was once bowing down with us after a kirtan in Italy, and we all did the Panchakalpa Turu, then he said, and when he stood up, he said, and don't forget Vaishnavibhyo, means ladies.